family was traveling home from church, they began to listen to their children in the back seat. They kept hearing them talking about some guy named Andy. They began to mentally run through the church directory thinking, who is this guy? Was that the Sunday school teacher? Who was the guy that kept talking about Andy? Finally, one of the kids spoke up and said, Mom, who's Andy? She said, well, son, I don't know. I'm not sure who you're talking about. What did you hear about it? He said, well, we talked a lot about Andy at church, and we even sang songs about Andy. And she was trying to mentally go, what church did you go to? Were we in the same, was this in some weird children's worship thing? And he said, well, we kept thinking about Andy, and he was kind of going through the mental role of trying to figure out the song. And finally he said, we kept saying something like, Andy walks with me, Andy talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And then she realized exactly what he was thinking about. What about Andy? I love that song. And as you think about that song, to me, it gives a great description of what people are looking for in intimacy with God. There was a picture that went viral this week. I don't know if you saw it or not. Some of you saw this, and it's of a young couple getting married, and if you're a photographer, you know this is pretty much a general picture that's now being taken, where they somehow get them next to a door right before the wedding, and they can't see each other, but they can hold hands, and in our culture would say a prayer together. And in this one in particular, for some reason, it went viral. The photographer even said, I've photographed a lot of weddings. This has to be one of the best things I've ever gotten to see, much less photograph. Before the ceremony and before they even saw each other, he said a prayer for their marriage and for their lives to be an example to others. Isn't that an awesome picture? As we think about this idea of intimacy, I just like to say, this is what we're looking for. I think the reason that this picture went viral is because this is the type of intimacy that people are looking for in today's world, and they're not finding it. We spent Friday and Saturday night talking about the culture's role of intimacy and how it seems to be taken out of nearly everything that we do in marriage, in church, in families. This idea of intimacy is one of those things that we only think one direction whenever we hear that word. Well, I hope this morning we're able to redefine a little bit of what that word intimacy means in thinking about spiritual intimacy. There's a verse in Genesis that says this, then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Isn't that an awesome verse? Isn't that the way it should be? In the Garden of Eden, if we go all the way back to the beginning, there was a time where God walked with Adam and Eve, whether we're talking about metaphorically or whether we're talking about actually physically. The indication is, or the emphasis is, that there was a spiritual intimacy that took place between Adam and Eve and God. And it was an amazing thing. We use this analogy of the triangle of a way to describe how this process works. And when you look at a triangle, this triad of spiritual intimacy, and maybe you've seen this before, you see that there's a vertical and a horizontal relationship. Now, we can apply this in a lot of different ways, but the way that we applied it this weekend was specifically in marriage. And you'll notice that you have a husband and you have a wife and you have God at the top. And guess what happens when the husband and wife make it their priority in their marriage to grow closer to God? What happens? As the husband and wife grow closer to God, they begin to get closer to each other. That's spiritual intimacy. That goes beyond any kind of other intimacy that you can think of when you define intimacy. I shared the dictionary definition of intimacy this weekend, and it's interesting. There's 10 or 12 definitions before it even gets to the physical part of intimacy. What does the world tell you? The world tells you that intimacy is all about the physical side of things, and that's all it is. Well, I want to talk about something that we don't talk about very often, I don't think. And that's spiritual intimacy. The spiritual intimacy that we share. Not just in a marriage relationship, but if we took that triangle and applied it to our families, you could do the exact same thing. You could put the husband and wife on one side and the children on the other triangle, the other corner. And as we grow closer to God as a family, what happens? We grow closer to each other. It's the exact same process. Or what if I took it one step further? Scott, I don't have this slide. But I thought about it. This is something that came to me this morning. What if we put the whole family on one corner and we put the church family on the other corner? And we made it a priority to say, we're going to do everything we can to grow closer to God. And so what happens with families and the God's family, as we grow closer to God, we grow closer to each other. That's spiritual intimacy. I want to go back to the Garden of Eden again. And I want us to think. In fact, if you have your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter 1. We're going to start there. We read a verse this morning that already said that Adam and Eve had this relationship with God that was amazing. In fact, the very last verse in the New Testament section that we read said that they were naked and unashamed. In other words, they were able to stand before God in such transparency. But they didn't have to worry about anything. They didn't have to think about it. They had everything they needed in the garden, right? God said, you can have every tree in the garden, just stay away from certain ones. And of course, you know the rest of that story. And that verse that I read a while ago that says, as God was walking through the garden in the cool of the day, we get that picture of just being able to take a deep breath. But right after that, you see something happen. That the trees become a hiding place for Adam. In fact, sometime do a study of that word naked in the Hebrew language, and in later chapters it uses that word to describe them, but really that word means under God's judgment. They realized they were under God's judgment and were ashamed. You ever gotten caught? You ever done something you knew that was wrong, and maybe your parents were looking for you, and so you hid? That's kind of the way it was. There was a spiritual intimacy that was there, and then it was broken because they went against what God had said. So I want to begin at that point, and I want to talk about some things that I think God does for us that helps us to get back into spiritual intimacy with Him. Even though we've sinned, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, right? Does that mean we can no longer have intimacy with God? Whether we're talking about individually, or whether we're talking about in our marriages, or whether we're talking about as a family, we have the ability to have spiritual intimacy with God. Let's look in Genesis, right after the fall. I believe God did some things. First thing is this, I believe God created our drives for spiritual intimacy. God created our drives for spiritual intimacy. You ever think about that? You go to the next slide. Right after the fall, God blessed them and He said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Be fruitful and increase in number. God created our drives for spiritual intimacy. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. And then later on, I love the way the King James put it, for Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. They fulfilled this command from God. God created our drives for spiritual intimacy. Think about it, and I'll try to be as careful as I can in speaking in this nature because we don't talk about it very often, but think about in the act of sexuality, we actually are totally transparent and totally vulnerable. And it is in that time that we completely give ourselves over to someone. Now think about that in relation to the spiritual intimacy side of things. God gave us a gift that teaches us transparency. And I think it's through that gift that we're able to see what true, complete giving over of ourselves really is. In the New Testament, you see this. In 1 Corinthians 7, it says this and gives us very specific instructions in particular to that relationship. Each man should have sexual relations with his own wife and each woman with her own husband. The husband should fulfill his marital duty to his wife and likewise the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body but yields it to her husband. And in the same way, the husband does not have authority over his own body but yields it to his wife. Do not deprive each other except perhaps by mutual consent and for a time so that you may devote yourselves to prayer. Then come together again so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. God created our drives for spiritual intimacy. In fact, you know, when you look at this, I heard somebody say this one time, God actually says, do it, do it, do it, do it. If you decide not to do it, let it only be for spiritual reasons, but then come back and do it again. Now, that may be a very simplified message version of, you know, that particular verse, but God created sexuality. And I believe for a specific purpose, not just for us to enjoy or for procreation, but also for us to experience true intimacy, spiritual intimacy. We've got to share that. In fact, the one thing I want us to take away from this is that we have to connect the physical and the spiritual. I think that the world has done everything it can, and Satan has done everything he can to take the spiritual out of sexuality. In fact, if he can just make it nothing but physical, thank you to several celebrities and presidents, possibly, that have made sexuality nothing but physical. There's a connection. Mind, body, soul. Mind, body, spirit. And we've got to connect the physical and the spiritual. God created our drives for spiritual intimacy. Second thing is this. I believe through the story of Adam and Eve that God corrected our desires so we could have spiritual intimacy. Read along with me from Genesis. To the woman he said, I will make your pains in childbearing very severe. With painful labor you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband and he will rule over you. And to Adam he said, because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat food from it all the days of your life. I believe God corrects our desires. Sometimes we desire things that we don't need. And there are things that get in the way. And Tracy's going to be talking about barriers here in the combined class that we're going to have in a few minutes. So I won't spend a lot of time on that. But we have to realize there are things that get in our way. And God corrects our desires so that we can have spiritual intimacy. Here, even though there was a sense of separation, there was still a sense of taking care. There was still a sense of accountability. And for true spiritual intimacy to happen, there has to be a sense of accountability. And so I believe there are times where God corrects our desires. When we have desires for things other than that, they get in the way. If you turn over to James, you see the verse that says, when tempted, no one should say, God's tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. And then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. I believe in order to have spiritual intimacy, we have to make the choice. We have to make the choice for spiritual intimacy. If we don't make that choice, we're going to allow everything and anything to take over. We have to make that choice for spiritual intimacy. So what's the so what? When you look at this, there's some things that I think we have to decide on. when we make the choice for spiritual intimacy. I think one of the things that we notice towards the end of the story is just there's one little verse that happens that I think we just kind of gloss over when we read the story. And that's the third thing, which is God covered our differences for spiritual intimacy. God covered our differences for spiritual intimacy. Notice this verse, verse 21. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. Now this is right after being kicked out of the garden, right after the chastising that they took. God took care of them. Now, the picture that I get of this is a coloring book picture because I've never thought about this verse before until I saw it in a coloring book. And I thought of all places to get a very theological example of something, it's in a coloring book. But it's a picture of Adam and Eve, and there's tears in their eyes as something is happening behind a rock that you can't see. And it says this particular verse. Think about all the things that had just happened. Adam had been looking for a helper. He had gone through all the animals, naming all the animals, doing everything he can to try to find something that could be a companion for him, and there was nothing that really matched up to what he needed. And so God took a rib and made woman for Adam. And he was able to have the helpmeet that he needed. And then some things happened, and they went against what God said, and now they're kind of on their own. But the first thing that happens is that God clothes them. Why? I believe one of the things is they notice there's some things that were different. And it's sometimes in our differences that we get kind of messed up. If you read in the New Testament, you see in Hebrews, it says, where is our focus? In Hebrews 12, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, not on our differences. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Where is our focus? Do we focus on our differences? I believe in this story, there's a lot more than just covering them with skins. I believe he's covering their differences for spiritual intimacy. He's trying to get their focus back where it needs to be. And a focus on God. So as you think about these things, you see we have to focus on Christ for spiritual intimacy. We have to focus on Christ for spiritual intimacy. So how do we do that? What do we need to do? As you think about your daily life, as you think about all the things that you do during the week, do they focus on Christ? Are the things that you're involved with, are they Christ-focusing? It's the only time you focus on Christ Sunday morning, Sunday night, and maybe Wednesday night. When does your focus happen? Let me ask you some questions. Number one, where is your fulfillment? Where do you really feel fulfilled? For spiritual intimacy to be there, our fulfillment can't come from things. It can't come from stuff. Our fulfillment needs to come from Christ. If we're in that triangle, whether you're talking about in a marriage, whether you're talking about in the church, whatever it is that you're talking about, where does your fulfillment come from? It should come from Christ. Maybe you're a single parent and you're not in a marriage relationship. Maybe your triangle is you and God. Where does your fulfillment come from? Sometimes we triangulate in things that are not healthy. We might triangulate things like our jobs or things that really, when it comes down to it, don't mean a lot in the vein of eternity. Our fulfillment needs to come from Christ. Second question is this. Where is your faith? Where do you put your faith? Do you put your faith in God? Do you put your faith in Christ? Where is your faith? Is your faith right here in this building? Does it only take place in a location? Where is your faith? Then the last question is this. Where is your focus? Our goal this weekend was to try to help people understand that spiritual intimacy is something that doesn't just take place automatically. It's something that you develop. And whether you're talking about in a marriage or whether you're talking about in a family or whether you're talking about as an individual, spiritual intimacy is one of those things that's not a choice for Christians. It has to happen. It was one of those things that we struggle with because we have sin in our life. We have things in our life that get in the way. And so we struggle with that. And sometimes we may not know what our fulfillment is. It may take us a while to figure out where our faith is. But we've got to know for sure that our focus should be on Christ. Maybe a question that fits in with all of these questions, kind of sums all this up, is what is love? True intimacy never ends. True intimacy is one of those things that is unconditional. And it's always a part of you. I don't know where you're at in the triangle. I know where I'm at. And I know that there are ways that I need to continue working, growing closer to God. And all of us are in that place somewhere. The question we have today is God in your triangle first? And if He's not, let us help you get Him there. If God is in your triangle, then let's think about ways that we can grow closer to Him, whether it's in a marriage or whether it's in your family or even if you're a single person. There are ways that we can always grow closer to God and become more spiritually intimate with Him. That's what we're here for. That's why we're doing what we do, is to help people become closer to God. And that's what true spiritual intimacy is. It's not easy. In fact, it's hard. But I would encourage you to take that step, to make that choice, to let spiritual intimacy be a part of your life so that it can be a forever thing. We have a song we're going to be singing here. If there's any opportunity that we can have to serve you, whether it be to help you begin your walk with God so that you can know more about what spiritual intimacy is, whether you'd be ready to become a Christian by being baptized into Christ, or whether you're a Christian that's struggling and really would like to make a difference in your life and just say, you know what, it's time that I started doing it right. Whatever your need is, there will be elders up here up front that will be ready to help you in whatever way they can. Let's stand and let's sing.